Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
It was Wednesday, really early afternoon this past week. Really early afternoon, I mean right around 12:30, when I got a text from Malia, our Sunday school coordinator, who had heard a little bit of online rumor that there was a petition. A petition to ask the area churches here in PB to stop serving meals to the homeless. Not really ask the city council to tell the churches to not have meals for the homeless and underprivileged. Now, I knew that if I were to try to read that petition right away, like I hadn't had lunch yet. So I knew that would be a bad idea. So, like, I usually leave around noon on Wednesdays anyway, because I come back for the meal that we have every Wednesday night. So I usually leave midday and I go home and I have lunch, have a little time with family before I come back. So I made my lunch and I started eating and I'm reading the petition. I had been home less than an hour. Like, I'd only had time to eat half of my lunch when I get a phone call. There's a news crew at the church and they want to talk to you. So leaving half of my lunch still on the table and my eldest son at home alone, he's 12, he's okay, almost 13. So I came back. And I spoke with a very nice young lady named Kelly on camera. And you may have seen the news on Wednesday night as they did a live shot outside. They did some background shots earlier in the evening of, you know, some of our meal and some of the folks who prepare it and who receive it. And so there was this news story because someone put a change.org petition online about asking the city council to shut down all the church meals in this community, and specifically Pacific Beach. There were five churches named. We were the top of the list. I'm sorry, I'm a little proud that we were at the top of the list. But here's the thing. Like, I'm glad that I had part of my lunch before I came to talk to the news, because the lady interviewing me on camera, she gave me several opportunities to badmouth this guy or to badmouth other Christians who don't agree with this. I'm glad I had lunch, because I could have been hangry. And it's bad, no hangry. When I say hangry, the traditional definition as I understand it of hangry is you're so hungry it makes you angry. Now, I have a bone to pick with that definition. I was going to say this later, but now we're in it now. So I have a bone to pick with that definition. I don't think, number one, it paints anger as a bad thing. Anger is an emotion. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is. How we respond to it can be good and bad, okay? But nothing makes us angry. Like, I don't give power to my food to make me angry, okay? Now, when my children have not eaten and they do that thing that we might describe as hangry, here's what I say to them, and I'm sure they roll their eyes every time. I say this to them. I say, now, remember that you haven't eaten. And when you haven't eaten, when your blood sugar is low, it's harder to sort of manage and regulate your responses to your emotions. So what I'm asking you to do is to do the hard work it takes to manage and respond to your emotions so that you can be appropriate. Does it help is the question. Yeah, but it could just be because I talk so long I bore them. You know, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, my dad would say the same, like I could memorize some of his speeches. I'm sure my kids do that with me, and I'm sure this is one of them. But I think it's an important distinction. I don't want to teach my kids that something can make them angry. Again, anger's not a bad thing, and like we can choose how to respond to our emotions because our emotions are natural. Okay? So when I say hangry several times through the rest of this message time, like I'm talking about that reality that when we're hungry, it's harder to manage and respond to our emotions. Not talking about anger making us, hunger making us angry. Okay, good. I have to be authentic, all right? That's just who I am. Okay, so when I get this call to come down, like I'm glad I wasn't hangry on camera because I had the opportunity to say things that weren't very nice. Because the truth about it is, I think that the person who created this this petition, I think this is somebody who cares about his community. I think this is somebody who wants to feel safe in his community. And for some reason, when there are homeless folks around, he doesn't feel safe. So, like I said, this is someone who just wants to feel safe in his community. I want you to know that I've tried to reach, I'm going to try some other methods, but I'm going to try to reach out to this guy and continue to do so to have a conversation. Like, I don't think this needs to be a divisive thing. I think that we can have a conversation and come to an understanding about, you know, what's actually going on. I agree. Now, hangry is not a new thing. Like, however you define hangry, it's not a new thing. Because our scripture starts out today with the Israelites wandering in the desert, and what happens? They're hangry. They've been wandering around in the desert. Here's what leads up to our scripture, okay? Right after they cross the Red Sea, they're being led into the desert by Moses, and they go without water for 3 days. They get grumpy. And I understand. I would get grumpy too, okay? But then finally they find a place where there's water, and then they find out that it's water that's bitter, and it's not like they can't drink it. Like, a very real way to think about that is people who are shipwrecked and who die of thirst in the middle of the ocean. You can't drink that water. It's a similar thing. So finally they get to some water that they can drink. They do that. They stay there for a few days, and then they're in the wilderness again for, I want to say, 14 days before our scripture happens. And that leads us into our reading. I'm going to ask Ken to read. This is Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15.
The whole Israelite community complained against Moses and Aaron in the desert. The Israelites say to them, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death where we were still in the land of Egypt. There we could sit by the pots cooking meat and eat our fill of bread. Instead, you brought us out into this desert to starve this whole assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to make bread rain down from the sky for you. The people will go out each day and gather just enough for that day. And this way, I'll test them to see whether or not they follow my instruction. On the sixth day, when they measure out what they had collected, it will be twice as much as they collected on other days." So Moses and Aaron say to all Israelites, "This evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the Lord's glorious presence, because your complaints against the Lord have been heard. Who are we? Why blame us?" Moses continued. "The Lord will give you meat and to eat, will give you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord heard your complaints you made against him. Who are we? Your complaints aren't against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole Israelite community, come near to the Lord, because he's heard your complaints." As Aaron spoke to the whole Israelite community, they turned to look toward the desert, and just then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the complaints of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will have your fill of bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." And in the evening a flock of quail flew down and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew all around the camp. And when a layer of dew lifted, there on the desert surface were thin flakes, as thin as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" They didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, "This is the bread that the Lord had given you to eat."
The Israelites are so hungry and hangry. Like, their thinking is so altered in their frustration that what they say is, we'd rather go back to Egypt. We'd rather be oppressed. We'd rather have the risk of overwork and death, but at least they fed us. Now, have you ever been so hungry that you just thought, in a figurative sense, not a literal sense, but in a figurative sense, have you ever been so hangry that, like, you were just willing to lay down and die in that figurative sense, right? You're at the bottom of your emotions. I have another story to tell you because, you know, I like telling stories. Friday night, Beth took me to see U2. It's my second favorite band. I would say U2 is my favorite Christian band. I say that on purpose. I think U2 is an overtly Christian band. But anyway, that's another sermon. So we went to see U2. Beck opened for him. This concert started about 7:30. Beck opened for him, played for a little over an hour. U2 didn't come on until after 9:30. And they played a very full set. It was awesome. I loved it. Ron, can I hire him to be our worship band? Ron says yes. Okay, good. All right. It's amazing. Like, it's, for me, a spiritual experience, okay? We took the trolley there and back because parking at Qualcomm. So after the concert, we're not going to leave early. We had to stay for the encore. Get on the trolley. Trolley friends are amazing. And then get home. It was about 1:30 when we got home, so it was late. Then woke up at 6 because I had a meeting in Pasadena yesterday. So I drove up to Pasadena. I knew that I was supposed to come. Several of you, we all went to the Padres game yesterday. That game started at 5:40. I was pretty sure that I left Pasadena at 2. I would be back in time. No. I pulled into the Old Town trolley station at 5:30, knowing that the game was about to start. But Beth had left the house while I was almost to the trolley station, so she took Ingram down here to go across the island and then over to the trolley station. Yeah, the Pacific Islander Festival was happening. So she got stuck in traffic. So I was sitting there at the trolley station waiting for Beth and the kids. I hadn't had dinner yet. So then Beth and the kids get there. We both have our compass cards, so we got to load them up. I'd already loaded mine up while I was waiting, but she had hers, so she had to load hers up. There was a really, really sweet family right in front of us on the machine to load up their card. They didn't know how to work the machine, so they were having some help from the employee who's there to help you. And as he's helping this really sweet and wonderful and patient family, the trolley came. And then the trolley left. And they were still trying to get there. And I was hangry. So I had to go sit down. I did. I had to sit down, and I had to tell my kids. My kids are like, "Oh, Daddy, we haven't seen you all day. We want to sit on you and talk to you and tell you about our favorite video games and what we did last night. And I was at my friend's house, and please don't talk to me." Because I was hangry. Have you all been that way too? Thank God I'm not the only one. So you understand this is the place that the Israelites are. They've been wandering and they're so hungry and they're not putting in the time and energy it takes to manage their emotions and the responses to the emotions the same way I wasn't doing either. And so they complain. And I get it. In fact, sometimes in the scripture, like, we can't really put ourselves in the perspective that the Israelites are in. Like, no wonder they're complaining. But they're not the only ones who are hangry. Moses and Aaron are right there with them. They've been on the same journey. I don't think they had like a secret stash of like Cracker Jacks or anything. Okay, so they're probably hangry too. And I think that because look at their response. Their first response is to remind them, "Oh, it's not our fault." They deflect. Now, on one hand, aren't they the leaders? Maybe they should take a little blame. But look at the difference between the way Moses and Aaron respond and the way God responds. God doesn't deflect. God doesn't say, "Oh, you terrible complainers." That seems to be a little bit of the subtext from Moses and Aaron. God responds to them. God sees that they're hungry and says, I will help you. I understand your pain. I grieve for you. So let me do this for you. Now, I have to admit that I have a little bit of a funny vision in my head, because the first thing that happens is in the twilight is a flock of quail lands. Now, I'm trying to imagine these Israelites chasing quail around their campground. And I have visions of that Rocky movie where he's trying to catch a chicken. I don't have anything else to say about that. That's just a vision that pops into my head. But one of the things that I do think about is, like, in the morning when the manna shows up. That's what we sort of call it in religious terms, right? Manna. It's the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven. It shows up, but there's this mist on the ground, and then the mist lifts, and there's this, like, flaky stuff. You know how I imagine that flaky stuff? The rice cereal that I used to feed to my kids. But there's this flaky stuff all over the ground that the dew has left behind. But the Israelites are like, I don't know what this is. It just showed up. Moses and Aaron are like, no, this, we're supposed to eat this. Yeah, I don't know what it tasted like. Somebody made a face. I don't know what it tasted like. I don't know. Like, did you have to make it into some kind? I don't know. But what's interesting to me is not only does God responds to them with what they need. I got to tell you, if I was an Israelite and it had been a couple of weeks since I've had a meal, I'm asking for a big old steak. Maybe a bacon cheeseburger. I know that that's not appropriately, you know, Jewish kosher, but that's what I'm asking for. What did they get? They got what they needed. And they got what they needed for a day. And they had to have faith that the next day it would show up again, and that the next day it would show up again, and that the next day it would show up again. That can't have been easy. But how easy is it for our homeless and unsheltered neighbors to get through each and every day with maybe a little bit of certainty that they might get one meal in a day? I had a conversation with one of our homeless guests who said this to me. He said, one of the things I appreciate about the meal at the Methodist Church, that's how they know us, we're the Methodist Church. One of the things I appreciate about the meal at the Methodist Church, we know you guys are always going to be there. We know you're always going to have a meal. This came up a couple of months ago because someone in the community called the county health department who came and inspected us. We didn't have our kitchen permitted. That's on us. We need to own that. But instead of shutting down the meal, we chose an appropriate and legal way to serve a prepackaged meal. And so that's how this conversation started. He says, one of the things we appreciate about the Methodists is that no matter what, we can count on you. He said, we've been to other places where they're supposed to have a meal, and we get there and there's no meal. And for some folks, that's the only meal they would have had that day, and then they didn't have it. One of the questions that the reporter asked me on camera that wasn't aired was, what do you say about other Christians who don't think that churches ought to serve these meals? And I sort of got the sense she was asking me to badmouth other Christians. And that's not my job. But here's what I said. I said that I cannot read these sacred texts in any way other than a way that compels me to feed those who are hungry, to visit those who are sick and imprisoned, to bring good news to the widow and the orphan, to serve those who are marginalized, to reach out and connect those who culture and society says aren't good enough. I cannot read this sacred text in any other way than that. What does this say to us about people who think different things? I don't know. I can only tell you that the way I read this Bible, that when God spoke to Moses out of a bush, God said, so get going. When I read this sacred text, I think about Jesus sending the disciples with these words, therefore, go. I do not think that our faith has transformed us if we do not serve the sick and the marginalized, the underprivileged, If we do not do for others, then we are not living in such a way that our faith has transformed us. And if we are not living in a way that our faith has transformed us, then I think we have some work to do. I don't mean for this to be a guilt trip. I mean for this to be an opportunity for us to do a real and authentic self-check. Think for yourself, your unique relationship of faith with your God. And think about whether or not you feel compelled to do something for those who have so little. Because I think the people who are out on the street, I think the people who are families living in cars, I think the people who are living paycheck to paycheck, who show up here on a weekly basis on Wednesday night, not because they can't afford to eat, but because having one less meal come out of their budget helps them make other ends meet, because those folks are here too. I think if we can see these people as real human beings who are crying out to God, and that God is responding, and I would submit this to you as well, that God is responding through the ministries of these churches in this community who are feeding the hungry. You know, but one of the critiques of the petition was, well, you can't just feed people. It's going to make them hang around. But do you understand that we do so much more than offer a meal? Do you understand that we have free medical and dental and acupuncture care? Do you understand that we partner with so many organizations who help folks sign up for CalFresh, the food stamp program, for Medi-Cal, for regular medical insurance? Do you understand that in our homeless community, many in our homeless community have been able to receive traditional medical care outside of the clinic because they were aided in signing up for the Affordable Care Act? Do you understand that we have passed out more than 200 hygiene kits as a result, of the hepatitis A outbreak? Do you know that on several different days across the last 3 months, we've had free hepatitis A vaccines? Do you see that we do oh so much more than just give a free meal? But what would happen if we stopped? Those who are here, especially those who are at the end of their rope, I think those people could get hangry too. And what happens when people reach a place of desperation because they feel like there's nothing left for them? What could they do to others and what could they do to themselves? My friends, ministries like this save lives. And I submit that God is responding to the needs of the people in this community. I submit that for all of us, when we have reached that place of desperation where we cry out, where we're so emotionally and spiritually hungry that we're not regulating our emotions well, that we're just crying out and lashing out at anyone that there is to lash out at, that God responds to us. Not always with what we want, but always with what we need. I invite you to take some time over the course of this week to pray, to consider how God is calling you to live out your transformed life as a person of faith. But I'd like to offer you something tangible to do. If you've not ever been here on a Wednesday night, please come. In fact, consider how you might do this on a regular basis. You don't have to be here every week. We have some folks who are here every week. I'm here almost every week. But maybe once a month, maybe once every other month. If you're a social media person, we talked about social media earlier in this worship service, get online and share some of these stories. The more we tell this story, I think, the better. And I'm not trying to get publicity for the church. I mean, that's a nice bonus. But I would say tell the story about all that we're doing as a ministry to this community. If you're not a social media person, well, I said this earlier too. Tell people with your voice. That's your social media. Tell people about this incredible ministry. because it's been going on for 20 years. And it's something that was started and continues because people are in need. We can continue to live out the ways that we are transformed by working to transform our communities. I believe that God responds to those who cry out, and sometimes God responds through us. I believe that God gives us not always what we want, but what we need. And I believe that we can participate in sharing the good news of this congregation, in sharing the ways that we have had our needs met, and participate in meeting the needs of others. I think if we are to be transformed, then we have to live like it. We have to act like it. We have to talk like it. We have to be like it. We have to love like it. Friends, we turn now to a time of prayer, prayers from this community, and so I invite you to join me. Holy and gracious Creator, as we are connected in this community of faith, help us to remember the deep connection that comes from you, the connection that draws us one to another. Help us remember that this is a community from whom we can seek both celebration and support. God, we lift up all these things to you and any prayers that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.